As many of you know, we've had an ongoing relationship over the past few months, a new relationship getting forged. And I played basketball yesterday, and so I figure this is a good way for us to sit and have almost just a conversational type message. I'm going to start off with an easy question.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm so glad to be here and to see all of you. Yeah. And I thank God that if it's not for Jesus, I wouldn't be here today.
So we're going to start off with a really easy question. Do you think there's a connection between cat people and being just a good and godly pastor? I've noticed that when I meet pastors that have, they show me pictures of their cats. I'm like, this is a good and godly pastor.
I don't know. Maybe this is a new theory.
A new theory?
Let's study it.
If somebody's going to write a book on it, I'll write the book on it. A few weeks ago when we had, for Faith Promise Week, we had Pastor Benjamin join with us. And he showed me pictures of all of his cats and all that. And I'm like, I like this guy. And then not too long after Pastor Jamil and I met, he was talking about his cat. And I'm like, you know what? I really like this guy. So then I wanted to get to know more about you than just the cat.
Do you think it would be okay if we get our cats so the people will introduce
them? Yeah, we'll bring our cats to church one Sunday. And your cat's name is?
Mitchie,
okay. So that's one of the things where, like I said, just getting to know his story, but a lot more about his story. So I think it would be good to share, when did you start following Christ? Where did that actually start?
Well, actually, I was born in a Catholic family. I'm from Jordan, the country of Jordan, next to Israel. You know that area by the River Jordan. So I was 23 years old. I went to the Catholic Church all my life. I was kind of a religious person, but not really. I didn't know what does it mean to be saved. I went through a rough time in my life. And when I was 15 years old, I had a freak accident that put me in bed. For 5 years, I couldn't walk, I couldn't go to school, and I became very much bitter for life, for God, for everything. After I was able to walk again, I went back to school, finished my high school, and started working in a hospital. In the hospital where I was treated, it was a Catholic mission hospital called the Italian Hospital in Amman, Jordan. And there I knew a friend who invited me to a church, not a particular church, to an evangelical church. I never knew what evangelical church is. I never what it was ever in the Bible or in the New Testament. One time I asked my priest if I could have a New Testament. He said, I'm sorry, we don't have them in Arabic. So I never had my even New Testament. Wow. 23 years. We never had in my house a Bible. I didn't know how did it look. The funny thing, I taught for a week after my graduation from high school in a Catholic school. And they gave me an assignment to teach science and religion from grade 5 to grade 9. Okay. So I didn't last long. One day I decided to go to an evangelical church. I didn't know what church to go to. But the Lord led me in a very special way. I cannot express how did it happen. I was going to one church. I was going to a church, the Church of God, the Assembly of God, which it was far away from where I was. And then I don't know what happened. After we reached the cars were taken to that place, I decided to change my mind. He told me there is a church on the mountain near where I was living. And then I said, I want to go back to that church. I didn't know what church it is. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Yeah. It was Church of the Nazarene. And I was hoping to see a lot of people. I'm accustomed to Catholic Church with a lot of boys and girls, and you know, I was a young man at that time, interested in girls. I hoped to see some girls there, but when I went in, there were no girls. There were about five people. And I was saying in myself, this is the church? I was telling myself, I will never be back in this church. And as the service ended, I was going out, something happened. Brought me back. Mm-hmm. And an old lady who is illiterate, doesn't know how to read and write, knelt by beside me and prayed. And I prayed through with tears and confessed, Lord Jesus, You are my Savior. Save me. I submit my life into Your hand. And that was on a Sunday, 11 o'clock, 1971. Mm-hmm. 17 of October. Mm-hmm. And that is when I became a new person in Christ. Oh. And I am an avid reader. I love to read. From fifth grade, probably until now, I read hundreds of books. Mm. From, mysteries to Plato. Mm. And I just grabbed the Bible. I read first the New Testament in 1 week, and within 2 months, I read the whole Bible. And from that time, that was the best time where I got my first knowledge. Yeah. Well, much of what I know of the Bible today, it pertained to that time when I finished that Bible.
Cool. Just hearing that, for me, it is something. That's one of the things where you know God's really done a work in your heart when you have this hunger and thirst for God's Word. When I was in the seventh grade, I was asked to be a part of Bible quizzing, and I was been going to church, but I was like, no, I'm not interested in that. But at the end of my seventh grade year, on a Good Friday, is when God did something in my life. Mm-hmm. And the next year, when I was asked to be in Bible quizzing, initially I said, no, I don't want to do that. And then the Spirit started convicting me and said, I need to be studying God's Word. And that changed everything. Those first few years studying Scripture through Bible quizzing was, looking back, it's an important time.
I just like to read it every time from beginning to end. That is why I finish it, I go back, I read it in Arabic, I read it in English, a little bit of Greek and so on.
Yeah. Now, were there any challenges to being a Christian, even Catholic Christian, evangelical Christian for the country that you were in?
Yeah.
What were the challenges like for there?
You know, I am the eldest in my family, the elder of 10 children. Yeah, 10 children in my family, 7 boys and 3 girls. And in tradition, the elder child is, have a certain aura, respect. But I didn't really find a resistance so much from my family, immediate family, from my father and mother. Thank God now they are with the Lord. And our house turned into a place where for a meeting. Mm-hmm. For the Lord. The first thing my father told me, why are you following this silly thing? That's how he looked at it. I had more resistance from other people. For example, my uncle told the priest of the parish there, where most of our kindreds went, that my father should be excommunicated because he let me to become, they call it, regenerated. Mm-hmm. You know, evangelical, regenerate. And I had one hard time, the beginning of my faith, as I started witnessing to other people and the people. I started working at the hospital where I was treated, as I said. And one of my colleagues, when he knew that, he said, he just stood up. I was sitting on a bench, and he was by the telephone, whatever, system. And he stood up and came and slapped me on the face. And he looked at me, "I want to see if you turned the other your other cheek."
Wow.
And looked at him and said, "Do you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I would have killed you." But, yeah. But thank God I persisted. I didn't mind whatever people said. People mocked me. They thought, I'm, you know, how much do they give you? I said, I'm giving to the church. The church is not giving to me. Nobody is giving me anything.
One of the things I noticed, he's one of those avid Facebook people as well. And so I follow him. Whenever he's involved in conversations, I'm usually following along. You think I'm controversial. This guy, he knows how to stir a pot really good. He gets involved in some really intense conversations with people, witnessing. He's one of those people that bridges the gap, that has a knowledge of very different worlds in Christianity, and knows how to articulate some of the things, some of the challenges with other faiths. And I wish I could download some of that knowledge a little bit to know how some of that works. But it's fun watching those conversations happen as he engages with other people.
That kind of ministry, even I think before I became a Christian, I was a zealot, but I didn't know for what. Mm-hmm. But God has put that on my heart, this kind of ministry, even mm-hmm. before I was converted.
Mm-hmm. He even says, can't think right now where it's at, but it says it's a good thing to be zealous, but it's you got to be zealous for the right things. And there's lots of people that can be zealous, but for the wrong reasons. So, yep, God can use that and channel that.
Amen.
Yep.
Like Peter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul.
So, can you share a little bit about the call to ministry? So,
yeah. 1 year after I gave my life to the Lord, I felt the call for the ministry. I didn't know what to do. And I had a chance in 1972 to go to a Bible college. At that time, I really didn't know the different denominations, Baptist, Nazarenes, Pentecostals. I didn't know any difference. I thought evangelicals are all the same. Mm. So I went to a Bible, since there was no Nazarene institution in our area at that time, I went to Lebanon. To Beirut, attended. I was asked if I am interested to go. I said, yes, I am. And I went there for 2 years, but there were things that I couldn't keep up with. Mm-hmm. So I decided to leave. And it was from the Lord. That was in 1975. I felt an urge to leave. Mm-hmm. Why, I didn't know. But right after left, the civil war that lasted 15 years started in Lebanon. And later on I heard that place where I was living got a direct hit. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm living in the north, my family lives in the north, and I worked and know that the church, the Nazarene I went to, it was in the capital, like about 70 miles away. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. I decided one day to visit the pastor of that church, little church. I had many chances to change the church, to go to other churches, but I felt that the Lord had purpose in bringing mm-hmm. me to this church, even if it is a little mm-hmm. church, and even if there are no girls there. This is where God put me, and mm-hmm. I'm going yep. to leave this church. Mm-hmm. A year before I went, the district superintendent, his name is Burj Negeri, and he was a missionary. I don't know if you're familiar with him. When the pastor told him that I'm interested, he kind of, had cold feet. He did not want it. And when I came after 2 years and I visited the pastor, it happened that the DS was there. And he asked me, I said, what are you doing? And told him, and he said, are you interested in to go to our Bible college in Switzerland? I said, oh, my goodness. I said, yes, I am. And he said, I have application with me. And right on the spot, filled the application and sent it. And my English at that time was like a baby English. So I wrote a letter to the dean, and I didn't know her name was Janine Van Beek. She is a Dutch lady, but I didn't know the difference between Van Beek or Van Dijk. So I, Mr. or Mrs., I wrote the letter, Dear Mr. Van Beek. And that was the first thing when I went there, the first day when we had the chapel, said, Mr. wrote me, Dear Mr. Van Beek. And everybody laughed at it. So that is how I started the ministry. I went to the Nazarene Bible College in a town, in a little place called Büsingen. It's a German little village in Switzerland, within Switzerland, where you go to the post office, you buy a German stamp, but you have to pay with Swiss money. So everything is interesting, and the Lord works in a different way, in an interesting way. So that's how my ministry started. I don't know if I went. And then after I met my wife, and just to make a long story short, on a Christmas holiday, I was assigned, I was the only student, everybody else went to their homes, but since I am from far away place, I stayed there, and there were some staff members, and I was to pay some part of my tuition, I was assigned to be the breakfast cook. So I was one day having a breakfast with the people who were there, and one of the secretaries said, tomorrow we are going to have a student, a girl from Finland. I said, from Finland? Oh, my God. My heart starts singing, oh, Finland. And then that is what you call a love from the first hearing. Before seeing.
Yeah. So Finland had a nice sound to it, as you heard it, huh?
Yeah. And I'm happy to have my wife here, Maria, is there. And then we decided to engage, and then we married, but at the school, and then we married in Jordan.
Okay. And then you've got two kids.
We got four kids.
Four kids, okay. I've seen two.
And just to, from there, I served as a pastor for associate pastor, as I know, 1.5 years in Jordan. Then we came to the United States. I went to school again to Bethany. It was Nazarene College, Southern Nazarene University today. And I got a master's in education and psychology, and then I went to University of Oklahoma. I got another master's in health education. I enrolled in a PhD in epidemiology, so I have religion, epidemiology, religion, mix.
So you've got all kinds of certificates sorts of things.
Became a licensed, district licensed minister. And then there was a missionary visitor, like the one you have today. And then my wife and I decided to be missionaries. Mm-hmm. And in 1955, we went to Cyprus on a specialized...
Or 1985, or which? You said 1955.
No, 85.
85, okay.
Yeah, went on a specialized assignment for 4 years to, as pioneers, to open a center of ministerial studies in Cyprus for the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And we came back from there to Chicago. We pastored the Oakland Arabic Church of the Nazarene on Ridgeland, it used to be. And we had, this is our third place. Mm-hmm. And here I am.
I was gonna ask you too about what actually brought you here. So I know with the Rouhani, with his invitation, wanting you to come to.
Yeah, America. we were coming on furlough, mm-hmm. and then I got a call from Reverend Trihani in Norwich, asking me if I'm interested mm-hmm. in a pastor. There is a church. I said, "How is the church?" He said, "Do you know the Arabs? You know." I didn't know not much about the church. When I came here, we were kind of like a few people scattered mm-hmm. here and there, and mm-hmm. people would go to some church in the morning and then come in the evening. Like mm-hmm. we had about 5-6 people. And, mm-hmm. But thank God that the Lord has used us through us. Now even some people who attended our church are serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so give me 2 weeks. Let's pray about it. And we were ready to go to Oklahoma. They already, furnished us with a place and piano because of my eye, in a church called Britain Church of the Nazarene in a suburb of Oklahoma called Britain. But after 2 weeks, as we prayed, we decided to come to Chicago, and here we are.
Okay. Now I've not met him, but I do know his son. So I can only imagine his quality of the sons that I've met and gotten to know over the years. He must have been he passed away a few years ago.
They were in the north.
North side.
In Norwich.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. So he came here, and that is why I live in the north. From that time, I started living there. And then I decided one thing in my life, I will not live off the ministry. Mm-hmm. That's my conviction. I'm not mm-hmm. advising that. Yeah. That is my conviction. Yeah. But I decided to serve the Lord free. Mm-hmm. And then I told them, when I came in here, if I find a job, I will stay. If not, I'll go back to Jordan. And the Lord opened the door. I worked with the Chicago Public Schools for 24 years, and now I'm retired, a teacher, and we had a house there, and that's why I'm still there in the north. It's mm-hmm. not easy to sell and come here, and at that time, it would be difficult to commute every day from the south to the north, mm-hmm. 1.5 hour going and 1.5 hour coming. So,
the convictions with pastors, it does vary. How many years did you teach in the Chicago public system?
24 years.
24 years teaching and pastoring and doing both of those along the way. And,
right.
Yep. That's one of the things I learn a lot from our pastors that do the bivocational thing. It mm-hmm. does have its challenges and it does have its rewards as well. And just kind of same thing for me as far as the conviction. It's helpful, I think, to work in the community. That's one of the reasons where finding a job at Elam has been a blessing already. Just getting to know people in the area and being able to help serve the church in that way. Really important question here. Do they ever force you to sing at your church?
My wife would not let me.
She does not let you. So I need to talk to Lori and have her. I don't know how that. I think I did something once. I started. It's my own fault. I have nobody to blame. But now they put my name on the sheet and say you're.
I like to sing when there is nobody around.
Me too. Yeah. I love singing. I love music. I love singing. But boy.
I tell the story that I had 2 semesters of piano when I was in college, Bible college. I broke every piano in the school.
So what have been the biggest challenges as a pastor since being in here, since being
I really, it is not easy. To be a pastor is not easy. Because you are dealing with the different people, especially with us. I'm dealing with people not from, I mean, they are Arab, but they are from different backgrounds, from so whether they, the churches they came from different churches, different backgrounds, different cultures, and try to, you know, mold them to be a kind of one. It is difficult. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I thought, Lord, I'm going to quit. But the Lord didn't allow it. I'm now retired. Actually, I am retired now, but they call it active retirement.
So what's been the biggest joy being a pastor for those
years? It's just to see the, you know, to be with the people, to serve the people, and to see that the Lord is working through the ministry. That would be the greatest joy. Yeah, just being really active worker for the Lord.
So what does retirement look for you? You described active retirement for you and Maria. What does active retirement look like right now?
Just keep working, but you are technically retired.
Take extra naps maybe or something.
Yeah, I love retirement. I'm from teaching.
So I had 4 months off from work with the hospital and all that, so I had some time off. I got a taste of retirement, and boy, I can't wait for it. At some point, last Sunday I mentioned going in and getting retirement stuff set up with the new workplace, and
that means you have to grow older.
Yes. Well, my knees are growing older than the rest of me. And here's just the last question this morning is, how can we here at Calvary best pray for you and the church?
Church? We are so thankful and grateful to be in this place. We feel that we are part of you, and you are part of us. We belong to each other. We are one family. That is our feeling. And we pray for you, and you pray for us. And we are in it together. We are in the same trenches. We are fighting for the Lord until he comes. And guess what? We will be together in a much more wonderful place.
One of the things is just is on the prayer side too. Is I get encouraging messages. I get messages asking how I'm doing, how I'm feeling. You know, how are things going? And so it's encouraging for those kinds of relationships that are still just getting started, and really excited about that. So what we'll do is I'll just go ahead and pray for you, and pray for your church, and pray for our service this morning.
Thank you very much.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the relationships that only come about because of the body of Christ, and the way the gospel has moved all over this world, bringing people of different languages and cultures and all sorts of backgrounds that brings us together. And so we celebrate that this morning, the movement of your Spirit around this world. This morning we pray for your blessing on Pastor Jamil and the leaders in his church, the people that serve in a variety of ways, and we just ask for a special blessing on their congregation, especially in this season of newness with the new location and everything going on here. We are excited about what your Spirit wants to do through all of those lives represented in that church. We pray for the relationship between our churches as we continue to get to know each other, and as we celebrate together on particular Sundays. We are excited to celebrate the body of Christ and the unity and the diversity that happens there. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be together this morning, and we give all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor to you. In the name of your Son we pray, amen. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you, and may the Lord bless each and
Andrew, one of you.